السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And welcome to the mothers of the believers. We're still talking about Aisha radiallahu anha. This is actually episode 3. At the end of the last episode, we started to mention the ayat that were revealed in the Quran by Allah Azza wa Jal, where he declares the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. Inshallah, for the first part of this episode, we're going to analyze what these ayat are saying and the message and how they prove beyond a shadow of a doubt the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. So make sure you witness the whole episode. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين. أما بعد، so we're talking about Aisha radiallahu anha. As I said, this is episode 3. We were talking about the ayat that were revealed showing the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. But not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed ayat because the Prophet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used to provide for Mistah. He used to give Mistah money, radiallahu anhu, and Mistah then went and said these explicit things about Aisha radiallahu anha. So Abu Bakr swore, he said, Wallahi, I will never provide for Mistah anything after what he has said about Aisha. So then Allah revealed,
وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
Let not those among you who are good and are wealthy swear to not give help to their kinsmen. Because Mistah was from like the kinsmen of Abu Bakr. Those in need and those who have left their homes for Allah's cause. Allah says, let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Verily Allah is all forgiving and most merciful. When this verse was revealed, then Abu Bakr said, yes, by Allah, I wish that Allah would forgive me, answering the question in the verse. So he resumed, went back to giving Mistah the aid, the monetary aid that he used to give him before, and said, Wallahi, I will never withhold it from him at all. This is the forgiveness and the good nature of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, even though he had said this about his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. So then Aisha says, the Prophet ﷺ also asked Zainab bint Jahsh about my case. He said, oh Zainab, what have you seen? So Zainab now, this is an opportunity, this is like, you know, they can compete. And Zainab, and we're going to mention that she was one of the ones that had like a chance to compete against Aisha radiallahu anha. So this was her chance now to put some hurt, as they say. But she replied, Ya Rasulullah, I protect my hearing and my sight. So she's saying, I'm refraining from telling any lies. Then she says, I know nothing but good, meaning about Aisha. So of all of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, it was Zainab, this is Aisha saying, it was Zainab who aspired to receive from him the same favor as I used to receive, but Allah saved her from telling lies because of her taqwa, because of her piety. But her sister, Hamna bint Jahsh, kept on fighting on her behalf, so she was destroyed as were those who invented and spread the slander.
إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم إن الذين يرمون المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات لعنوا في الدنيا والآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون يومئذ يوفيهم الله دينهم الحق ويعلمون أن الله هو الحق المبين الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما ما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم.
He says, vile men, women are for vile men, and vile men for vile women. And good women are for good men. This is now, if you believe the Prophet ﷺ was a good man, then for sure all of his wives were good women. And good men for good women, such are innocent of what people say. And so in these verses we see the defense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards Aisha. One, Allah called it an ifk, which is a severe lie. Two, Allah promised punishment for those who spread it around. Three, he said, why didn't those who heard it say this is you should have said this is a lie. Four, there were no witnesses brought, and if you don't bring the four witnesses, then you're liars. Five, had it not been for the mercy of Allah, punishment would have come down upon you. Six, Allah called it buhtan, which is also another severe kind of lie. Seven, Allah says He warns you from ever repeating this again. Eight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls her a mu'mina and a muhsana. And nine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those who do things like that will be cursed in the dunya. Ten, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the good women are for the good men. And 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the good women are innocent from what people say. And so the people of Medina then finally got the news and the final verdict from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why all the people who are upon the truth today and all the people of righteousness, the issue has been solved for them and Aisha's innocence has been declared by Allah Azza wa Jal. And so therefore for us, this is an issue that has been a closed case, and only the hypocrites today are the ones who try to open this case and go against the Quran. We'll continue when we come back from the break, inshaAllah.
Hajj, the journey of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is geared as an educational documentary that will take the audience through the footsteps of Ibrahim and the Muslims today as they perform the once-in-a-lifetime journey of Hajj. The story is told by some of our well-known scholars of today as they reveal the importance and significance of the Muslim's Hajj and how it relates to the journey of the father of religions, Ibrahim.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Alright, salam alaikum, welcome back. So we're talking about the ifk, the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha was revealed in the Quran, and we wanted to quickly talk about the four different types of people concerning the story of the ifk. The first group, and this was the majority of people, they didn't believe the incident and they denied what the people were saying. And most of them kept silent. And this was the first group. The second group now are the people who were there's the smaller group, but they strongly denied this lie and they would never accept it. An excellent example of that was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, famous example, radiallahu anhu. He asked his wife asked him, what do you think of what's happening? So then he asked her, would you do such a thing? Would you do such a thing? And she said, ma'ad Allah. She says, no way I would do such a thing. He tells her, Aisha is better than you. This is ifk. This is Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. So the first group, the majority of people who didn't believe and they just were quiet about it here. The second group, people who were against it and said, this is a lie and this can't be the case. And then after that, the third group, basically was the ones who would say they were talking a lot about it and they were explicitly mentioning it. And this group included Hamna bint Jahsh, Mistah ibn Uthatha, and Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. So radiallahu anhum, these were people who were not hypocrites as we said, but they fell into it even though the hypocrites started it. And then the fourth group was the people who instigated everything. They didn't say anything that was very clear, and they just hinted, but they didn't say anything explicit. That's why they were not punished. And these were the people, hypocrites such as Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Story of the ifk, and like I said, it has been a case that has shut, has been a closed case, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah azza wa jal has shown the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha from in the Quran. Also, interesting things is that you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, we know that he asked his wives to be nursed in the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha. So if there was any doubt, or if he had any doubt on this issue, he wouldn't have probably stayed in her apartment for the rest of his days, and even passed away in her apartment. So all the things show you that this issue has been closed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who make these accusations against believing unchaste women, that you will not, and they don't come with four witnesses, then they will be lashed 80 times and they will not accept their testimony anymore. And therefore Hassan ibn Thabit, even though he was the great companion and the poet of the Prophet ﷺ, and he still remained to be a great companion, and Hamna bint Jahsh and Mihtar ibn Uthatha, they were all brought and each of them were lashed 80 times. So this is the penalty of talking about the honor of a woman, of an innocent woman. And you see that it's interesting that when it comes to the tongue versus the hand, the tongue can be far more serious in Islam. And we mentioned this story before, but like, if you curse or you accuse a believing woman of something like this, this is an offense of the tongue. So here you lashed 80 times. But if you hit someone in Islamic court, you will either pay a fine or he will hit you back. And that's the end of the story. So you see, sometimes the tongue is more dangerous than the hands. But the problem is that we live, especially those of us who live in the West, the hand is more dangerous than the tongue. And so we don't hit anybody, but we say the worst things about Muslim men and women during Ramadan and inside the masjid. Why? Because we believe as long as you don't hit anyone, you're okay. While in Islam, the tongue can be worse than the hands. So we move on now to other things about Aisha radiallahu anha. We move now to things less serious than the incident of the ifk. Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to say to the that Allah preferred her over the wives of the Prophet ﷺ by 10 things. One, she was a virgin. Two, both her parents were muhajirin, they made hijrah. Three, her innocence was revealed from the heavens. Four, her picture or her image was shown on the piece of silk on the in the like the dream to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Jibreel. Five, she was the one in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make ghusl with her from the same vessel. He would bathe, and out of the same container he would bathe with her. Six, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed towards her while she was stretched out in front of him, and she was like in front of him while he was praying. Seven, that the revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was in the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha. Eight, the Prophet ﷺ died on her chest, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he passed away. Nine, he died on her night, not the night of any of the other wives, but on her night he happened to pass away. And 10, he was buried in my room, as Aisha radiallahu anha used to say. So this was like things that showed the preference of Aisha over the other mothers of the believers. And just again going back to the beautiful relationship between her and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet ﷺ would tell her, "It is not hidden from me when you're upset and when you're happy." So she said, "How do you know? May my mother and father be sacrificed for you." So he says to her, "When you're pleased, you swear by the Lord of Muhammad. But when I notice when you're angry," she says, "he says you swear by the Lord of Ibrahim." So this is how Aisha was. When she gets angry at the Prophet ﷺ, she swears by the Lord of Ibrahim. But when she's happy, she says by the Lord of Muhammad ﷺ. So she tells him, "Yes, you have spoken the truth." Then she says, "Wallahi ya Rasulullah, ma ahjur illa ismak," or ismuk, meaning the only thing that I would stay away from is your name, but I still would love you to be near me. She was not like the wives that when they get upset at their husband, they don't want to see his face, or they want him to leave the house, or they want to leave the house. She says, "I would get upset, but the only thing I would stay away from is your name, but I still love for you to be near me." And out of her, like how she would behave towards the Prophet ﷺ, she would always try to beautify herself. It is narrated that one time she wore like large rings of silver, and she tells the Prophet ﷺ, "I made them so I could beautify myself for you." And she mentioned some things that like more on the humorous side, she said that she had never seen a better cook than Safiya. And she one time, Safiya radiallahu anha, brought a container of food. So she said, I looked at the container of food and I considered breaking it. So then I asked the Prophet sallam, what would be the amends or like the expiation if I break the container? And the Prophet sallam, in a very nice way, he tells her, a container for a container and a meal for a meal. Meaning if you break her container, you have to give her one of yours. And if you ruin her meal, you have to cook a meal in return. So this was Aisha radiallahu anha. And we all know she had a great, great place in knowledge, and she was of the greatest scholars in Islamic history, which is proof, of course, that a woman can be a great scholar. So from she lived basically, with the Prophet ﷺ, she was married to him for 8 years and 5 months. And she was a very intelligent woman. She had excellent memory as well. Described her memory as being instant and strong. So she would memorize immediately, and she would not forget what she memorized. And she was the most knowledgeable of all of the mothers of the believers. And she was also not just amongst the mother of the believers, but she was amongst the level of the most knowledgeable of people. So much so that great scholars like Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would come and ask her questions. This is the knowledge and the level of Aisha radiallahu anha. And she narrated a lot of hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. We have Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh, he narrated 5,374 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha narrated 2,210 hadith. And so this was like her place and her contribution to Islamic knowledge. It's just about time to stop, and perhaps we'll take just one more quote. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qays says, I have heard the khutab of Abu Bakr, and the khutbah, speeches like sermons of Umar, and of Uthman, and of Ali, and the Khulafa after them. But until today, I have never heard the word of a being, meaning of a living being, better or greater than it, except in Aisha radiallahu anha. So that means she was extremely, extremely eloquent radiallahu anha, extremely, extremely well spoken. So we've come to about the end of the episode. Or to end of this segment, we've got one more segment, and we're going to continue with Aisha radiallahu anha when we return, inshallah.
How you doing?
I can't believe you let him do this.
Why not?
He can handle it.
How do you know? It's only his first time.
So?
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, man.
Hey, everybody's got experience.
He didn't have to.
Man, he don't look so good.
Man, I feel good.
Yeah. Hey, is he okay?
Hey, what's wrong?
Hey, we better pull over.
What's going on back there?
He's not breathing.
Pull over, pull over!
Oh my God.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Aisha radiallahu anha, and we're talking about her level of knowledge, her contribution to the knowledge, and what kind of a scholar she was. And we were mentioning this quote, and I'll repeat it one more time, where Al-Ahnaf ibn Qays radiallahu anhu, he said that I have heard the khutab, the speeches of Abu Bakr, and the speeches of Umar, and the speeches of Uthman, and Ali, and the Khulafa after them. But until today, I've never heard the word of a being better or greater than those speeches, except in Aisha radiallahu anha. So she was known as being extremely, extremely eloquent. And Muawiyah radiallahu anha, he would describe that she was the most eloquent except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So well spoken. It was also mentioned that she had a very loud voice. So when she spoke really loud, the army could, everybody could hear her, large crowds and gatherings could hear her. Abu Musa, but just here, this narration of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, it shows how she regarded her position as far as dispersing and spreading the knowledge. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he one time wanted to ask her about an issue that was a little bit like embarrassing. And so no one wanted to go and ask her about the issue. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he came to her and he told her, I want to ask you about something, but I'm a little like ashamed or embarrassed. So she tells him, this is now we see from this narration and from her response, the attitude that she had towards knowledge. She said, do not be ashamed to ask about something that you could ask your mother who gave birth to you, as I'm your mother. She said, don't be ashamed to ask me the same way you would ask your mother who gave you birth, because I'm also your mother. She's the mother of the believers. So we have another narration from Urwa ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. Now Urwa ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam, now what's his relationship to Aisha radiallahu anha? He was her nephew, because Urwa's mother was Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the half-sister of Aisha. So Urwa ibn Zubair, he says, he's talking to Aisha. He says, I contemplated your situation, and I'm puzzled to find you're the most knowledgeable of people. So I said, it makes sense. You're the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and the daughter of Abu Bakr. So then I found your knowledge. So then he's saying, I understand why you're so knowledgeable, because you're the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he says, I found your knowledge in the history of the Arabs, and in the knowledge of tribes, and your knowledge of poetry. So I said, I thought of that. Then I thought, why not? Because Abu Bakr is the most knowledgeable of people in this field. So it makes sense that you're knowledgeable in history and in tribes and lineage and poetry. Your father was the most knowledgeable. But he says, but I'm puzzled with something that I find you knowledgeable in. So Aisha says to him, what is it? He says, medicine. He says, I wonder, and he's wondering, how do you know that this is for this illness and this herb and this mixture is for that illness? So then she explains where she got her knowledge of medicine from. She said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to get ill a lot at the end of his life. And so what happened, the doctors would enter and I would hear them say, you know, give him this mixture or give him that medicine or give him that medicine. And then because of that, she would memorize, because we said she had strong and excellent memory, she would memorize the concoctions and the mixtures that they would say. And that's how she became knowledgeable in medicine. So now we move, and we're towards the end of the episode. Now we move towards the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And he would, when he was the Khalifa, he would distribute large amounts of wealth, and he would give her a lot of amounts of wealth. One time he gave her an incredible amount of money, and she, with her servant, even though they were fasting, they started to distribute the entire amount of money. Until the time of Maghrib, they were distributing this money. And then when they distributed all of it, suddenly the servant girl, as she told her, you know, we're fasting, we should have left a little bit of money that so we could have bought some meat and something good, some bread, some meat, so we can break our fast. And Aisha says, wallahi, I forgot if you would have reminded me. So she cared so much for others. And imagine now, just imagine now someone gives you a huge amount of money and then you're to distribute it to people. What would you do with it? Would you forget to save something for yourself? But this was how Aisha radiallahu anha was. One time a poor man came to her, very nice story. He came to her and he asked her for something to give, to eat. She found nothing in the house except a small bunch of grapes. And then he told her, وَمَا يُغْنِي هَذَا يَا أُمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What is this going to do? How is this going to help me, this small bunch of grapes? But look at the response she gave him. She tells him, وَكَمْ فِي هَذَا مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ. She said, how many? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. So whoever does the weight of a mustard seed, the small weight, in good, he will get good. So she said, how much of the small weight are in these grapes? So to not belittle any of the good deeds or any amount of good deeds. So, and there's also the famous story of how the Prophet ﷺ would race with her. He raced with her after one of the expeditions. I'm going to talk about that again towards the end. And the Prophet ﷺ outran her. And then some years later, they raced again after the army had advanced. And then the Prophet ﷺ was faster than her this time. And then he told her, هَذِهِ بِتِلْكِ. So this one is for that. So I beat you now like you beat me the last time. And then there's another incident where Abu Bakr came to visit the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha. And he heard her like raising her voice. So he came in quickly to hit his daughter. And then the Prophet ﷺ stopped him. And then when Abu Bakr left in anger, he tells her, do you see how I saved you from the man? And he was going to beat you and I saved you. In any case, we've come to the end of the episode and to the end of the talk about Aisha radiallahu anha. And she, the Prophet ﷺ dies, she was 18 years old. Her father dies, now she's 20 years old. But she lives on until the year 58 after the Hijrah. And she dies on Tuesday the 17th of Ramadan. And she was buried at night. And Abu Huraira led the prayers over her, radiallahu anha, the favorite of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And until the next time, Jazakumullah khairan for being an attentive audience. Wa sallallahu wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.